Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life. Hey, it's the 5 on 5.
That was great. That was a little pause. That was your little pause.
You know, the audience is a little slow today, folks. Please forgive them. And once again, the 5 on 5 is sponsored by a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair. Over there, you'll find formerly with the color experience, Sandra Reynoso and Callie Ruiz. And they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and mine and everyone's favorite, extraordinary shampoos. You can find them in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1, or give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for.
Five things to be grateful for at 1135. That's what we're talking about. And these five things are all going to have something to do with grandparents.
Grandparents.
What do you think of that?
I like it.
I do too. Number five, grandparents love us without question. Isn't that a good thing?
Mm. Yeah. I didn't have grandfolks were gone before.
Oh.
I lost my last one at 7. The other one I didn't really know.
Do you have friends now that are grandparents?
Well, I got the wonderful experience of watching how important my daughter's relationship with my parents was.
That was a wonderful relationship. Yeah. Number four, grandparents are more accepting of the bumps in the road because they have more life experience.
Yep, indeed.
Number three, grandparents offer perspective that has been molded by the gift of time.
Also known as wisdom.
That's very true. Also known as wisdom. Number two, grandparents want to spoil us because to them, we are incredible gifts from God.
Hmm.
They do. They want to do things for their kids all the time.
They want the best.
They do. And number one of the good things about grandparents, they know the dirt on our parents. And their strengths, their weaknesses, as displayed by the reality of their learning curve. And they know that about our parents.
And just as important, they ain't talking.
That's right. They love them anyway. They love them anyway. That was kind of fun. 5 on 5. Today we're talking about tools that help us build a wonderful life. We were just talking about prayer, and we were talking about being honest in the prayer and speaking our truth with the higher power, whether we're angry and upset or joyful and thrilled with whatever's going on. You know, I think one of the unlikely tools in this world is anger.
Hmm.
Anger is one of the tools we taught about at the workshop. Can it be a good thing? You know, anger's a normal human emotion, and one of the most basics, right up there with fear and love.
But like all of the quote-unquote normal human emotions, what do we do with it?
Yeah. Well, even way back when, cavemen knew anger. It's a primal emotion, and it is energy, and energy can always be used for good. Always. So anger tells us who we are and what's important to us. It calls us to survive, to get through something tough. That's why fight or flight is often tied to anger, because it's like a primal survival thing. You either got to run and stay alive, or you got to stay and fight. Fight or flight, right? So how does your body respond to anger? Do you have any telltale signs when you're angry?
Oh, totally.
What do you have?
Well, for me, first of all, I've got a thing called an essential benign tremor, which is easily controlled. But when I get angry,
you can't control it.
I start to shake.
Yeah.
I start to shake.
Yeah.
So if you see me shaking,
you're angry.
Back off, Jack.
How about like a faster heart rate?
Faster heart rate, perspiration,
tightness in your neck and chest.
Absolutely.
Maybe. Yeah. Some people breathe differently.
And if I sit in it, it can even go to, you know, stomach,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. It's just the whole GI.
And have you seen people like clench their fists when they're angry?
Grit their teeth.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So what do you think your body's preparing for?
Oh, another thing that happens with me, my New York accent comes out.
Oh, does it? You getting?
You better freaking believe it.
So what do you think your body's preparing for? Do you think it's
confrontation?
To run, to stay and fight to the finish. Either way, it's a setup for change. There's going to be a new beginning in this thing.
Something's coming.
Anger says something's coming. Get ready.
Maybe right? Tonight.
You know, what if you choose to ignore the anger? You were talking about that. You said sometimes it stays with you, and then it goes into your stomach. What if, can that really be done? Can you really store that energy? You can't. It's going somewhere. It goes in to make your stomach sick. It makes you, it can make people unhealthy.
Yeah.
Because transformation takes place with energy, and the energy has to dissipate, and that's when your health can be really affected.
Blood pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. Blood pressure raises.
If you get red in the face because you're angry, that's not blushing.
No, that's blood pressure. That's right. But to utilize anger as a tool, you have to respond to it differently. You have to be proactive enough and in touch with your emotions enough in the moment. You know, like you have to, it comes upon you. Say you get angry with someone that you love and it comes upon you. You have to be able to see what emotion is coming up. Are you afraid that you're not going to get something you want? Are you sad because they're not valuing you or obviously not considering that you're a part of it? Are you frustrated because they always do the same thing? They always go brain dead when it comes to fill in the blank and are, you know, what's underneath the anger? Do you ever wonder that?
Yeah, well, you said that you know, two things that I read about is, you know, that I may lose something I have or not get something I want.
Yeah, that's a big one. And the anger comes before you really think about what you're feeling.
And we're back to that P word, practice, because how am I going to deal with it? Number one, I need awareness, because nothing changes without awareness.
Absolutely.
And I need an open-mindedness and willingness to look. And so once I have that awareness, you know, I've told the story with my darling Diane and myself when we first got together. When there was confrontation, she wanted to talk about it. I wanted to process, because my default from the past, which was a dysfunctional default, was I would get mean and I would lash out. And I loved her enough, I didn't want to do that anymore. So I wanted to take time so I wouldn't react out of that old default and process. And we had to come to terms with it with each other through communication, you know, to find a happy medium.
Yeah. Well, that's some of the points I have. I have, like, how does your anger work? So look at it. What are the triggers that set you off, and where do they stem from? Are you really angry, or are you sad that a key player in your life isn't safe? You know?
Yep.
You know, you might feel anger at that person, but is it really sadness that, wow, this person I love so much, but they're not really safe sometimes. Number two, can you communicate effectively? Are you in touch with your style of communication? And that's kind of what you're talking about with you and Diane.
Communication is key.
Yeah.
Communication is an important part of any relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let me ask you questions. Is your communication passive? Is it aggressive?
Or is it passive-aggressive?
Is it passive-aggressive or is it assertive? Assertive is the best one for healthy living.
Absolutely.
And it's clearly stating your needs, being respectful of the other person's opinion, and using I statements. Because when you talk in the I, like when I feel this, I think this, when you use the I, you're talking about what you experienced. When you use the you automatically even think about pointing the finger. It's automatically kind of like an attack mode, a blame mode. You did this. When you do that, you get me angry because you do this, you know.
So then you're serving it up with a slice of judgment.
Right. So assertive communication is more with the I statements, and it leads to solution and compromise. Everybody takes responsibility for their part. Now, what you said is really important. You might have to wait. You might have to say, let me take a walk around the block before we have this conversation.
And the other person will need to get to a place of understanding that you have that need.
That's need, yeah. Especially if you're going to have a good relationship with that person. So that's the first one, the first and the second one. What about the third one? I have be empathetic. You don't really know the other person's story. Figure out how you would like to be treated and then choose that approach when you're treating them. You know, I like that acronym for pause. Pray and use source energy. Give it a quiet respite before you respond. Stand in their shoes for a moment first. That's important, the empathy. And then the last one, manage stress. You've got to figure out what works best for you. You know, some people might do push-ups. Somebody else, I have a friend that beats a bed with wrapping paper rolls. She buys cheap wrapping paper at the dollar store and she beats the bed with it when she's feeling angry. And, you know, it works for her. But find out what works for you. And like you said, Lee, if you're in a couple that they have different, you know, they respond differently, you have to talk about it before the anger comes.
Well, in relationship, you each, it's two people bringing their history and experience into relationship, mm-hmm. and you're going to develop common experience.
So talk and plan before it's needed. Talk and say, when I say these words, it means I need a break before we go further. So wait, regroup and recoup. I need it. Maybe those are your words.
Not in the heat of the moment.
Right. Well, because in the heat of the moment, don't have the conversation, but in the heat of the moment, use the phrase that you developed together before the heat of the moment, so that when the other partner, in your case, your wife, hears that, she goes, oh, Lee needs a minute. Okay. I told him I'd give him a minute, and now I have to do it. You know, and those are the words that she, when she hears, whatever they are, when she hears those words,
it's
she knows.
A signal.
Yeah, she knows that it's time. Because in the end, anger can motivate you. You know, they did a lot of research. It shows that anger can make people strive for their goals and face their problems. They did a study after 9/11, and it showed that the people that were angry expected fewer attacks on U.S. soil. The people who were afraid expected more. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It showed that hiding anger, this research showed that hiding anger in intimate relationships can ruin them. Communicating anger is the loving thing to do if you want to support relational intimacy. If you want to keep that relationship tight and close, you got to be able to communicate when you're angry.
Well, if you keep bottling it up, sooner or later it's going to come out.
Absolutely. And then the last thing, you know, these studies showed in 1997, they did a study on Americans and Russians, of all things, and it shows that anger motivates self-change. They said that 55% claimed that getting anger led to a positive outcome, and on top of that, a third reported that anger gave them insight into their own faults so they could improve their lives. These are good things that come out of anger. So anger can be a tool for a better life, but you must understand how you respond and have a plan. Have it set in motion, because it can hurt relationships. Okay, we're going to take a quick little break because Shane's looking at us like, you guys ready for a little break?
Break me.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you connect with the thoughts and words of Beth Wee Radio Hour, you should click on our website to find ideas that will help you live your best life. At BethWee.com, you'll discover Beth's weekly blog that encourages growth, a format you can fill in to create a prayer of victory to help you through a tough time, and in-depth videos teaching on 12 steps, even if you aren't battling alcoholism or addiction. Beth speaks to your personal place of brokenness so you can rise above it. All this and more at BethWee.com. Check it out today.
Thanks for sticking around, folks. I just want to take a moment to mention that we will be continuing our monthly series of workshops on Saturday, May 14th. And the topic for this workshop will be History Revealed in Our Present Belief. Some of the beliefs and behaviors we practice daily are tied to our pasts. Are you sure they're the guiding force you want to embrace? Maybe we can help you choose well. Again, Saturday, May 14th from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m., and that is at 520 Royal Palm Boulevard, right here in lovely Vero Beach, Florida. A $20 charge includes refreshments and materials, but there are always scholarships available for those who have the will but not the means. Again, History Revealed in Our Present Beliefs, Saturday, May 14th. More will be revealed.
More will be revealed. Well done. We're talking today about tools that help us live a better life. And we just talked about a strange one. We talked about anger. But it can be used for the good because it does show something that really makes your heart beat. You know, just the increased heartbeat, which tells you that you care about this, you know, that it's a big deal. I'm going to give another one that people don't think of as a tool for self-growth. Are you ready?
Yep.
How about guilt and shame? Not what you were thinking, is it?
No, but I get it.
Okay. Well, guilt and shame, you know, the severity of these two emotions often depends on the quote-unquote crime you commit. Like eating a big gooey piece of chocolate cake versus having an affair behind your spouse's back.
And again, perception is key.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So guilt is taught in Beth Wee. Now this, you guys listening, this is what we teach. This is not necessarily what you're going to hear everywhere else in the world. So keep that in mind. Guilt, as we teach in Beth Wee, is a self-judgment. You have decided that what you did was wrong. You decided it yourself. It's your own moral judgment of yourself. Shame, as we refer to it in Beth Wee, comes from outside of us, right? We feel ashamed in front of others if our bad act is discovered. So guilt is therefore a gift of knowing ourselves better. It's tied to conscience. Think about something you could do that would be bad. Say maybe you're working at a desk job today and you have the radio on. Do you go online and check your Facebook while you're at work? That might not be okay with your boss. You know, I mean, you know if it is or it isn't, but you might sneak it. So if you're using company time to sneak a peek at Facebook, for example, you might feel guilty about it. Or if somebody walks in, you click off it really fast. That's a guilt response. Shame is a little bit different. You know, Lee, humans are the only animals capable of blushing. Isn't that wild? Yeah, we blush. And shame is when we're discovered in a place that makes us feel embarrassed or mortified. It can, however, get very twisted. Dysfunction in our families and in our homes and even in our workplaces sometimes can be such that this shame can get really twisted up. We can grow up learning that our actions are often off base. And if you had a person teaching you that you don't measure up regularly, you may have arrived at adulthood with an automatic shame response. You may become shameful right away. And how can this ever be a gift? The only way this can be a gift is if you recognize it. You know, Lee mentioned the gift of awareness earlier in the broadcast, and it's quite a gift to become aware of oneself. To become aware of what makes you tick, to become aware that you feel shamed by someone, that's a big deal, you know. You recognize the brokenness and then you can take action. Because shame, once discovered, can help us eliminate unhealthy relationships or keep the relationship but create healthy boundaries within the relationship so that we can go on and live a more fruitful life.
But don't be afraid to look, because if you don't look, change is never possible.
Yeah, it's not possible if you don't become aware. Mm-hmm. Awareness is key. So guilt and shame, tools, let's face it. You know, we're social beings, and emotions can cause us to recognize when our actions or the actions of other people are hurting us. And that's actually a tool for self-growth. The negativity spurs us into action. So I know they don't sound like a great tool, but if it spurs you into action, then it's a good thing.
But you need to find healthy tools, and we're speaking of healthy tools because there are negative tools. We work with many people that will choose numbing as a tool.
Yeah, and that's not a tool.
No.
We do. We work with a lot of people well, you know, we started because we deal with people who have been impacted by addiction, theirs and that of their family. Even the people that aren't drinking and using drugs, the people that are loving somebody that does that, they have their own ways of getting numb. They can withdraw from people. They can pull away. They can they can just change the whole thing. Their whole interaction can be different.
Whether it's suffering or whether it's denial.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I want to talk about at least one more thing, because I think another tool that's really important that we don't hear about a lot throughout the world is passion. Mm. You know, passion is a really important thing. I remember, you know, in the Vero's Voice magazine this month. Have you seen it? It's this month for April. I'll get you one as we come out of here.
Was that the one with the polo on the cover?
Yeah, it has polo on the cover. And I remember, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, I was talking to Charlie Replogle. He's the owner over at the Ocean Grill. He was glowingly. His face was glowing.
Huh.
And I was like, what is up with you? He was clearly, something had changed in his life. And what it was is he had played polo for the first time. He's always loved horses, and he loves to ride horses. And he's always been a sportsman. He used to play basketball competitively with his friends weekly.
But
you know, Tuesday
passion.
Night. Yeah, Tuesday night, forget it. You won't get Charlie because he's on a basketball court. There's no way to connect with him. And, you know, I'll always remember this. His passions had come together. He had come, you know, the horseback riding and the competitive sport came together. And he was off the ground trying to tell me about it.
How cool.
Yeah. On this particular weekend, a friend had invited him to do a sports competition on horseback. And he played his first polo match. And he was never going to be the same again. He wasn't good at first. He had to get good with practice. Absolutely. And during the next years of his life until today, this passion for polo has impacted his family, his work, everything. It's changed who he is.
Because when I'm living at my best and running on all eight cylinders, everybody benefits.
Right. Because when we can respond to our passion and allow it to come out of us and to grow, it's an important thing.
And it can be contagious.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because of the polo, he met different people. He mm-hmm. helped different people.
More connections.
Yeah. He learned from different people. He grew stronger in the sport. He marked his weaknesses in the sport so he knew where to improve. And he learned how to overcome those weaknesses. So a passion can affect our ability to grow physically, mentally, even spiritually. You know, we're always made up of those three components. And sometimes they overlap. Passion connects our three natures. And that's why they excite us so. Because usually we get a little bit of all of them in the thing for which we have passion. So recognizing and indulging a passion is really good to help you live your best life. All right, so, you know, it makes you kind of stand a little bit straighter, maybe listen a little bit more closely.
Well, back when we started, we spoke of quiet and meditation. Mm-hmm. When I am on a ski slope, nothing going on in my life disturbs me. I am immersed in my passion.
You're immersed in your
passion.
Immersed, not immense. You have the big
passion.
You have the big jacket on.
It's
so you're immersed as well.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. It's that down jacket. But, you know, but that's what we're saying is indulge your passions.
Yes.
By doing so, you tap the creative energy inside you, that same energy which with Source created the universe. They say that we were created in the image of Source. I think this creative energy is part of this. I don't think I have God's nose. You know, I don't think God has a nose. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but.
Who knows?
Who knows? That's right. But I get a little taste of the joy universal that resides in the divine when I play out my passions. It's an important part. It's an important tool.
How does loving somebody feel?
Oh,
it feels
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah.
I know my higher power loves me.
Right, right. And that's the deal. How does it feel? So connecting with others is an incredibly good opportunity to grow. And language is the gift of humanity. We've talked about a lot of things today. We talked about finding tools that help you live your best life, relationship with your true self, relationship with the source. And we talked about prayer and meditation with that. Those are things you can improve if you choose to. We talked about the gifts of some of the other things, anger, guilt, and shame. They can direct us and let us know ourselves better. But this gift of passion, oh, that's a great gift. Engage in your passions.
Practice.
Know what they are. Let them grow because they'll make you better. You know, at Beth Wee, we're always reaching out. We'd like to thank Rhett's staff here at Vero's Voice and at the Rhett Palmer Radio Show. But he gives us this time every week because he thinks that some of the things we teach can help people that are listening.
So we can connect with you.
That's absolutely right. If you have somebody that's impacted your life with addiction, go to the Beth Wee Radio, Beth Wee website. It's BethWee.com. Look at some of the blogs. Look at some of the teachings on forgiveness. Click around on some of the different categories. Listen to some old radio shows. We're here for you. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next Thursday.